Welcome to the Nowercast Tech Briefing. I'm your host and joined as always by my co-host.
Great to be here. We have a packed show today covering some major shifts in both the aerospace sector and the artificial intelligence landscape.
We certainly do. The U.S. Space Force just accomplished something that fundamentally changes the math on orbital deterrence. They launched a satellite into orbit less than 17 hours after giving the green light.
It's a massive jump in capability for the tactically responsive space program. We're moving from years-long procurement cycles to same-day deployments, and it opens up a whole new realm of strategic possibilities.
We'll be breaking down exactly how the Victus Haze mission achieved that rapid turnaround and what it means for the future of military space operations. Plus, we're looking at a new open-source AI model from Baidu called Unlimited OCR. It promises to parse massive, multi-page PDFs locally without running out of memory, solving a major headache for developers.
And later in the show, we will examine new survey data showing that enterprise AI adoption is hitting a governance wall. Companies are officially done with the experimental pilot phase, and they are starting to demand hard ROI, usage transparency, and predictable pricing from their vendors.
It is a critical transition moment for the industry. Let's get right into it. First up, the U.S. Space Force has set a new benchmark for rapid orbital deployment that frankly sounds like something out of science fiction. On June 19, 2026, Rocket Lab successfully launched the Victus Haze mission for the Space Force. What makes this extraordinary is the timeline. The rocket lifted off from Launch Complex 1 in New Zealand exactly 16 hours and 42 minutes after receiving the official notice to launch from military commanders.
To put that in perspective, this completely shatters the previous Tactically Responsive Space, or TACRS, record. That previous record was set by the Victus Nox mission back in 2023, and Victus Haze beat it by more than 10 hours. The mission itself involves two satellites, Rocket Lab's own Pioneer spacecraft and a Jackal satellite built by True Anomaly. Once in orbit, these two assets are performing rendezvous and proximity operations. Basically, they are simulating threat response scenarios, where one satellite acts as a potential adversary and the other has to quickly maneuver to inspect it.
This represents a fundamental shift in how space operations are conceived and executed. Historically, satellite procurement, integration, and launch took years. The TACRS program is trying to build a capability where the military can deploy and operate assets in a matter of days or even hours. It's moving from a slow, deliberate posture to a highly reactive one.
The strategic implications of this are massive. If an adversary knows you can launch a replacement satellite or a specialized inspection satellite on just a few hours' notice, it completely changes their calculus. They can no longer rely on the slow pace of traditional space operations to mask their activities, or assume that taking out a single U.S. asset will leave a permanent blind spot. It adds a layer of deterrence that didn't exist before.
But the real question is whether this is a repeatable, standard operational procedure or just a highly choreographed one-off stunt. Moving from these demonstration phases, what defense officials call the crawl, walk, run phases, to a standard capability involves incredibly complex logistical hurdles. You need rockets essentially standing by, payloads fully integrated and ready to go, and range clearance available on demand.
Exactly. Rocket Lab clearly proved they have the agility on the launch side, but scaling this across larger payloads or different orbits will require a completely different supply chain and operational mindset from the Space Force. They are essentially trying to treat orbital launches like scrambling fighter jets.
And we will have to see if they can maintain that readiness posture without costs spiraling completely out of control. It is one thing to fund and execute a high-profile demonstration. It is an entirely different challenge to have that capability on standby 24/7 as a routine part of national defense.
Shifting over to artificial intelligence, Baidu has just released a new open weights model called Unlimited OCR. It tackles one of the most frustrating bottlenecks in document processing and local AI deployment, parsing long, multi-page PDFs without running out of memory.
Standard optical character recognition models usually struggle with long documents because their memory usage, specifically the key value or KV cache, grows linearly with the length of the text. This forces developers into a really clunky workflow. You have to slice PDFs into individual pages, process each page separately, and then try to stitch the context back together. It's inefficient, slow, and highly prone to losing continuity across pages.
Unlimited OCR is a 3 billion parameter model licensed under the permissive MIT license, and it aims to solve this with what Baidu calls one-shot long horizon parsing. To achieve this, the model uses a novel attention mechanism called reference sliding window attention, or RSWA.
The way RSWA works is actually very clever. It maintains a constant KV cache size by attending to all the visual reference tokens in the document, but it only attends to the most recent 128 output tokens. This means it can process an entire multi-page document in a single continuous pass, without memory usage exploding as it gets deeper into the document.
According to the release notes from June 22, it supports a massive 32,000 token context window and scored an impressive 93.92% on the OmniDocBench V1.6 benchmark. For local AI deployment, this is a huge deal. It enables high-performance document parsing on standard consumer hardware, completely bypassing the need for complex, multi-step data pipelines.
But there are definite trade-offs to this constant memory architecture. By employing a sort of soft forgetting of older text and only keeping the last 128 output tokens in active attention, you have to wonder if the model can truly maintain coherence across a very long, complex document. Imagine parsing a 50-page legal contract with intricate cross-references. If it drops earlier text from active attention, it might miss crucial context.
That is exactly the main question developers in the open source community are raising. While the model is MIT licensed and open for anyone to use, the lack of disclosed training data and independent benchmark comparisons leaves some open questions. We don't fully know how it performs on non-Latin scripts or highly specialized document types like medical records or complex financial tables.
Still, compared to traditional long context techniques like flash attention or state space models, achieving constant memory usage specifically for OCR is a significant architectural step forward. It makes local, document-heavy enterprise workflows much more viable, especially for organizations dealing with sensitive information that they simply cannot send to cloud APIs due to privacy or compliance reasons.
Speaking of enterprise workflows, a new report from No Jitter highlights a major shift in corporate AI strategy. The era of the experimental generative AI pilot is officially ending, and the focus has squarely moved to rigorous procurement, process integration, and strict cost control.
The data from this survey is very telling. According to the report, 57% of enterprise software buyers experienced at least one AI spending issue in the last 6 months alone. This includes things like severe budget overruns or unexpectedly hitting usage caps because a team utilized an AI tool far more than anticipated.
Because of these cost surprises, buyers are fundamentally changing their negotiation tactics with vendors. They are now twice as likely to negotiate for greater transparency in AI usage and spending as they are to impose hard spending caps. Specifically, 32% of buyers are pushing vendors for more detailed, granular usage reporting, while only 16% have actually implemented hard spending caps.
It shows that companies still very much want the technology, but they refuse to write blank checks anymore. Early generative AI projects often failed to scale because they weren't integrated into core business processes and completely lacked financial accountability. The initial goal over the last couple of years was just to prove the tech worked and see what it could do. Now, it has to prove it can generate a measurable return on investment.
This creates a real tension between the need for rapid innovation and the strict governance requirements of corporate procurement. Deployments are stalling because IT and finance departments are demanding predictable pricing models, which is inherently difficult with generative AI, where compute usage can be highly variable based on the complexity of the prompts and tasks.
Right. Current pricing models, whether they are flat per-seat licenses or consumption-based per-token fees, often feel incompatible with the unpredictable nature of these workflows. If a software engineering team heavily utilizes an AI coding agent 1 month to refactor a massive code base, the token consumption and the resulting bill will spike dramatically. Vendors are going to have to figure out how to offer predictable costs to enterprises without taking on massive compute risk themselves.
It is a clear maturation of the market.
the massive hype cycle is giving way to the standard, albeit boring, procurement cycle. Vendors who can provide clear reporting, predictable pricing structures, and demonstrable ROI are the ones who will survive this transition, while those relying purely on the novelty of AI will likely see their enterprise contracts canceled.
Looking at the public sector, a new survey commissioned by ICF and conducted by Wakefield Research shows that the federal government is moving cautiously on AI. 41% of federal agencies are currently running small-scale AI pilots. However, only 16% are actively scaling their efforts, and a mere 8% have mature, operational programs. With worldwide AI spending projected to grow 44% year over year in 2026 to reach $2.52 trillion, agencies are under immense pressure to modernize. But they are still struggling with budget constraints, workforce readiness, and the absolute necessity of strict governance to ensure compliance. In medical AI news, a new study from the Kaiser Permanente Division of Research, published in the Journal of the National Cancer Institute, shows major improvements in breast cancer prediction. The study analyzed nearly 83,000 women between 2003 and 2020, finding that combining mammography AI with polygenic and clinical risk scores is far more accurate than clinical scores alone.
The integrated model achieved a C index of 0.70, offering a much more personalized screening approach. Lead author Dr. Vignesh Arasu noted that each test identifies a unique group of women. Combining them allows clinicians to pinpoint high-risk patients who might have been missed by traditional family history assessments, potentially leading to earlier detection.
Over in developer tools, a new feature request for Anthropic's Claude Code proposes a fascinating shift in how AI agents are managed. The proposal asks for declarative prerequisites that would force the agent to load specific, specialized skills before reading or editing files that match a certain path regex. Currently, Claude relies on its own memory to invoke the correct skills, which carry project-specific rules and conventions, like TypeScript standards. If it forgets, it produces code that breaks those rules. This proposal would introduce a hard, deterministic gate, shifting enforcement from the model's discretion to strict, rule-based configuration, reducing errors and saving time on code review.
A. Finally, privacy advocates are raising major alarms over a wave of new state laws mandating age verification for online platforms. As of this month, over half of U.S. states have enacted or proposed legislation requiring age gating for social media or adult content.
California's Digital Age Assurance Act, which takes effect in 2027, will even require operating systems like Windows, macOS, and Android to collect and share user age ranges with applications. Critics, including the EFF, argue this effectively ends online anonymity, forcing the mass collection of government IDs or biometrics under the guise of child safety, while creating a massive, centralized surveillance infrastructure that essentially builds a papers-please internet.
That is going to do it for today's briefing. Thanks so much for tuning in and spending part of your day with us.
If you want to dive deeper into any of the topics we discussed today, you can find links to all the original research and articles in the show notes.
We will be back tomorrow with more deep dives and updates from across the tech landscape, covering the latest in AI, space, quantum computing, and robotics. Until then, take care and have a great day.